Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show.
Brought to you by Fresh from Florida.
J.P. Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
And welcome in the Doug Peterson Show, presented by Fresh from Florida, from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman and Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson in studio with us as always. Good to see you. Hey, everything, the sky's not falling, right? The Jaguars are still in command of this thing. And as early as this week, you could clinch the division title, a win and a couple losses from the other teams. I know you're not going to want to hear that right now. It's all about the Jaguars, though, right?
It is, and we've got enough on our plates to work on and to improve upon. It just comes down to just us taking care of us and doing our jobs and taking care of our business and focusing internally, you know, improving as a football team. And if we do that, then good things are going to happen for us.
And part of that is bouncing back from a game that was disappointing in all aspects. I mean, you've been a part of that, I'm sure, as a player. I've been a part of that as a player, and you've been a part of that as a coach. How do you kind of regain the focus to bounce back from a game like that?
You know, I think the number one thing is to put it behind you as fast as possible, obviously, you know, given the players, obviously, Christmas Day and Tuesday off to kind of get away from us and us away from them and really come back the next day and say, hey, listen, guys, our goals are still right in front of us. The goal to win the AFC South is still right there, you know, and we've got to do everything we can to figure out how to win a game and try to win the AFC South. So, you know, I'll tell you this, the guys are still talking the right things. They're still believing the right things. There's no finger pointing. If anything, it's bringing us a little bit closer. And I think, that's a good thing this time of year.
Well, and getting closer is – you can't do it unless you're close. Do you bring in kind of that leadership group that you have on this football team to talk to them kind of before the week starts, or do you just kind of do that throughout the week?
You do it kind of throughout the week, and you kind of let it – for me, it's kind of organic, right? You just kind of let it naturally happen. And our guys, our leadership group, when I met with them on Wednesday, you know, again, they were saying the right things and – you know, they know that as a team and as individuals, we got to play better. Coaches know that we have to coach better and we got to prepare our players better. And it's not a bunch of like major change. It's just focus on the details, focus on some of the little things, some of the simple things that keep, you know, creeping up in ball games and making sure that we take that to the practice field and we work on them. So, you know, but when it comes to the players, just kind of letting that happen naturally has been the best practice because, again, the best teams I've been a part of, player or coach, are the ones that are led by the team.
Hey, Coach Doug Peterson with us. The latest on quarterback Trevor Lawrence now. It's the fourth time he's been on the injury list this season. He's come back to play the next week the last three times, but AC joint sprain, throwing shoulder. How different is this one? What have you seen from Trevor this week? And have you had one of those injuries before?
I haven't had necessarily this type of injury. I've had soreness in my shoulder from throwing and different things, but not like this. And the challenge is that it's sore, right? And it's on your throwing shoulder, and you know you don't do a lot of throwing during the week, and so that kind of hurts you just a little bit because as a quarterback, you need your arm to throw. Everything else is fine with Trevor. He does feel good other than that, and it's kind of a day by day situation. He's feeling better every single day, getting, you know, all the mental reps and staying, you know, focused and engaged in practice. But, you know, again, the biggest thing is just, you know, he's not getting the throws that he needs to necessarily prepare for a game.
One of the biggest things from looking from afar, which is what I do, how do you get this offense, because we're talking about the quarterback position here, and it's obviously so incredibly important in the NFL, but how do you make your offense a little bit less dependent upon that quarterback? In other words, to take some of the pressure off of that position to be able to have success, maybe if it's a little off or if he's not playing, that you're better.
I think the biggest thing we have to do to take pressure off any quarterback, and especially ours, is you got to run the football. And you've got to be committed to running to the football. And that comes from myself and Press and Phil Rauscher and the guys that are in that putting those run plans together, that one, that we have the right plays, right, that our players are good at, and two, as play callers and decision makers, that we stay committed to that. It may not look pretty early in a game, but You have to stick to the run. And, you know, you can't obviously turn the football over. It kind of gets you out of your rhythm, right? It gets you out of the flow of what you want to get done through your game plan. And then the other thing, I think the other aspect of that is putting the quarterback on the edge, putting him in, on the perimeter, getting some movement throws, some simple little completions where the ball's coming out of his hands, things are right in front of him. All those things can help spark your offense and get on a roll.
Coach, a lot of that starts on the offensive line, though, obviously. And Cam Robinson was talking in the locker room yesterday. We know he brings a different kind of intensity, energy to the line. What is the state of affairs up front right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited to get Cam back. It's a good time for Cam to come back.
Yeah.
We are a little beat up on that left side with Walker and Ezra, and both those guys have played extremely well for us. But we are excited to get Cam back out there. And as you mentioned, he brings a level of enthusiasm and physicality to the offensive line, and that'll be a good thing, you know, moving forward. And then with Ezra and Walker too, and then, you know, with Tyler Shatley, we got to just see how that all kind of plays out this week to see who's going to take that left guard spot. But all three of those guys are veteran players. They've all played in there. They know exactly what to expect. And so, you know, we're still in pretty good hands with that. But we do, you know, love the fact that Cam's back.
To do that this week, you've got to go through a guy that wears number 95 for the Carolina Panthers. Watching the film this week, Doug, Derrick Brown, he doesn't get a lot of fanfare because he doesn't have the sack numbers, but I don't know if there's a better, more dominant player in the run game that I've watched all year long.
I agree with you. This guy is he's fun to watch. Even when you're game planning against him, he's fun to watch. He's very powerful. He's quick. Got a great first step coming off the ball. He can go through you and he can go around you. But as you mentioned, there may not be the pass rush numbers, but in the run game, he is a physical dominant guy that can take, you know, 330-pound men and dump them on their ear with relative ease. And it's impressive to see, obviously. And so our guys up front know that and will be prepared, you know, for Sunday and do everything they can to slow him down.
It's one of those games Brandon Sheriff's going to have to buckle that chin strap just a little bit
just
tighter.
Just a little bit tighter. That's right. That's right.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. On the other side, Bryce Young, 5'10", 204 pounds, maybe 204 pounds. But over the last couple weeks, it seems like, you know, he's battled through this season. It's been a tough stretch for them there. But he's still out there. He's fighting. And he's putting together, okay, a little better performances. What do you like about Bryce Young as a quarterback?
You know, the biggest thing is he's improving each week. You know, and you watch what they did against Green Bay and really these last couple of weeks, and you're seeing the improvement and the consistency in the offense just a little bit more. You know, he's not necessarily turning the ball over like it was early in the season. And they're just doing things. They're kind of simplifying some things for him. You know, again, defensively, they're – kind of keeping teams or keeping them in these football games, you know, and creating some, not so many takeaways, but they're creating some punt situations and getting the ball back to their offense. And, you know, it's one of the things with Bryce too is, you know, if you're going to rush him, you better be careful because he can escape the pocket. He's very mobile. He throws well on the run and he's doing some of that. And he is getting help though from the defenses he's playing. There are some penalties and costly mistakes that defenses are allowing their offense to stay on the field, but you know, they are consistently getting better play out of all of their guys, and Bryce has been one of them.
And he's had it was his best performance as a pro yet, the season high points scored for them. But traditionally, they haven't been scoring a lot of points. Does that change your mindset as a coach going into this ball game? Hey, look, they're not scoring a lot of points, and we need to play a style of X because they're not scoring a lot of points. Do you have that mindset?
Well, you do think about that, obviously, but listen, again, it goes back to us, and we've got our own problems to fix, and you know, anytime you can create a three and out or create a takeaway, you know, from our defense, right, give our offense an opportunity to stay on the field, those are good things, and so we've got to focus a little bit more on that. We haven't been able to create the takeaways that we did early in the season. We're obviously giving the ball up way too much. We got to take care of. If we can just kind of control those two elements right there, the giveaway takeaway ratio, at least that gives you a chance to win games.
Yeah, I think you guys have had 10 giveaways in the last four games, which you've lost. When you've lost like four games in a row and you're trying to get back on the winning side of things, how important is a fast start particularly against a Carolina team that really has only scored about 2 points in the first quarter all year long.
Yeah, you know, you look at what Green Bay did. They jumped out to a pretty good lead last week, I think 14 points, you know, right away. And teams have done that. And then, of course, Carolina comes back and works himself back into these football games. And it's something that I've really talked to our team about these last couple of weeks is starting fast, whether it's defense or offense. Offense getting points on that opening drive and defense creating either a three and out or a punt situation in that first drive. And, you know, we haven't been very good there. And really that kind of takes it takes over again in the third quarter, right? That we talk about that middle eight all the time and creating points there, and we haven't done a good job of that as well either. So those are areas that we look at and focus on. And but starting fast is something that's critical to the success. I think it's 80%+ with teams that are going into a halftime with leads, you know, win games. That's what you want to do, right? You want to score as many points in the first half, take that lead into the second half, and that's when your defense can take over.
All right, Coach, final thought. Final home game of the regular season. Gotta have it moment for this team, right?
It is. It's a gotta have it moment. You know, I think back just to a couple of years ago when the Jags were on the flip side. You know, Indy was rolling in here with a must win to get in the postseason, and the Jags were the spoilers. And, you know, it's something that our team is very aware of. I made it aware to them the other day. But everything's flipped, right? And, you know, we're the team that is out in front, and Carolina can come in here and you know, treat this like a playoff game, and which we have to, and we have to, they have to as well. And, you know, but just, again, we just have to continue to focus everything internally about us, you know, minimize the mistakes, play good football, and, you know, good things usually happen.
Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. The Panthers-Jaguars game presented by Johnson & Johnson. The makers of AccuView brand contact lenses are making vision possible. Proudly based in Jacksonville, visit jjvision.com. In about 20 minutes, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Fred Taylor joins us. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center ahead of the Panthers-Jaguars game in Week 17. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson in the opening segment each and every week. And a lot to digest there. Quarterback situation up in the air. Trevor Lawrence has not practiced this week, Wednesday or Thursday, with a AC joint sprain in his right throwing shoulder. So, okay, C.J. Beathard's been taking the reps. That's happened a few times this season, and Trevor's been back out there on Sunday or the game day each short week, you know, a couple short weeks where he's had to do it, then coming off the concussion last week. But hey, this has got to have a game. I mean, you got to have your best opportunity to go put together a winning performance. So, I wonder what that could be. And I think that's the big question for the head coach this week, you know?
Well, and I think Friday tells you a lot, just like it did last week, you know, with a quarterback who you respect and that he can get ready to play a game by having essentially one day of practice, which he's been able to do in the past. Last year and this year, you feel confident. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, then I think your confidence is wavered a little bit. And you may say, well, maybe the best thing that we should do is to get by with CJ. And that's not trying to downgrade CJ or put him down in any way, okay? He's not the starter, okay? And I think that this team can win with CJ if he has to play. I think he's played well in relief, even though a lot of times when he's played, the games have not exactly been where you'd like it to be.
A nice way to say it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easier. Like in Tampa with CJ's performance against Tampa, and his numbers were 11 of 15, yeah. 94 yards, a touchdown throw, a quarterback rating of 111.5.
You're playing 10 yards off the ball. Like, it's a blowout.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
It's very different.
Yeah.
You know, when the score at that point when he went in, oh gosh, he went in after the last score.
Big number to
low
number.
That was Ridley. So the score is 30-6.
Yeah.
You think Todd Bowles is going to play a tight defense when he's got a 24-point lead?
Felt worse than that, actually.
It did feel worse than that, but it wasn't. So it's different. And Look, I think CJ's a good backup quarterback. I think he's a good backup quarterback. The one thing, if he has to play, that I and here's what makes me think that I don't know if Trevor's going to be able to go. And in his press conference yesterday, I mean, you were talking about this a while back, and I'm going to find the exact quote. And he was asked, he said, on if he feels that he will play this week. And he said, I honestly can't even answer that question right now. Of course, I'll do anything I can to be out there and play, which he's tough as nails. Give him credit. This is a little unique because it's my throwing shoulder, which can make things a little more challenging as a quarterback. That right there tells me it's a little different. And when he says unique and he terms the thing unique and it's my throwing shoulder. Because, I mean, first of all, he's speaking the truth. And Trevor is very honest and upfront. So I think CJ ends up playing this week, but I don't know. Again, I thought a couple weeks ago again that he wasn't going to play with the high ankle.
He's leaping tall buildings with a single bound all of a sudden.
We watched him kind of the first part of practice on Thursday that week, and he was kind of gimping a little bit. And then we saw him kind of jog from one place to another. We're like, oh, my gosh, he kind of ran. And we're like, that's just for show because then, you know, he went in after that and he was done. And then Friday he came out and had a regular practice. I mean, this dude heals fast. He's young. He heals fast. Could he heal fast with an AC sprain in the shoulder? I don't know. But we'll see.
That'd be a heck of a turnaround for sure. Jags fans want customized Jags furniture for your home. Check out ZipChair.com and browse all customizable options. ZipChair, furniture for fans. Coming up in about, 20 minutes or so, we'll hear from Fred Taylor. I caught up with him this morning, the day after the announcement of the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. Freddie T, a part of that. We'll hear from him in just a little while. The offensive line, though, with some possible changes again. We'll get to that next on the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh From Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. That's a fact. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. I made up that last part. But it is a fact that it tastes better when it's grown closer to home.
Oh, it always does.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
It's fresher.
It's from Florida.
Exactly
from
right.
From Florida. Jaguars offensive line, homegrown, if you will, for the Jaguars offensive lineman, could be back in the fold this week. Cam Robinson has been around here for a long time, and he's seen some highs around here, obviously, two playoff runs, and seen some lows around here, and he has the type of temperament to kind of maybe will a group towards some better success up front. So if he's back out there at left tackle, that would be nothing but positive things for the Jaguars.
There's a number out there, the team's record when he starts and the team record when he doesn't start. Do you have those numbers by chance?
Not in front of me.
Okay.
They are significant.
I think that there's only one loss that this team has had when he's been in the lineup. And that's amazing because he played in that stretch. If you go back, let's go back. He first game back was with the Buffalo Bills. And then he got hurt, I believe it was in the Tennessee game, the home game against Tennessee. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-1 when he's been in the lineup. 6-1 when he's been in the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, is that happenstance? Or is that because he's really good and he's a great leader? I think it's partly both. I think part of it's happenstance, but also part of it is that he helps his football team in the attitude category.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You know, because I think, and again, it's looking ahead. You know, we're allowed to do that here.
Yeah,
right?
We can do that.
We can look ahead to next year.
We could do. We can look ahead to wherever we wanted to look.
He's still under contract for next year.
Yeah, and that was a lot of the conversation early in the season, right? Was, okay, he's out for four games to start the year because of this performance-enhancing drug suspension. Oh, when he comes back, I mean, you're going to have to slide him inside because Walker Little's going to be playing left tackle at a high level and this and that. And, of course, he comes back. It's like, oh, that's the reason why he's the left tackle here, right? He has a different sensibility about him, right? And it's, you know, and there was the talk, hey, you can get out of a lot of money after this season against the cap if you just get rid of him.
Why?
But why are you getting rid of good football players?
Well, where do you need that money for next year?
Right. There's all this talk about the quarterback signing and all this. Well, I don't think that right now. Yeah, is that a priority at this moment?
I don't think so.
No.
Because I think you still got time to do that contract. And just looking ahead here, and I've said this for the last number of years, and Cam probably would be mad at me if he knew that I was saying this. I think he's the perfect right tackle. I do. I think Anton Harrison has natural left tackle feet. Natural. I mean, you heard me earlier talk about how this matchup with Brian Burns, that I feel extremely confident that Anton Harrison can handle him. I think Anton Harrison has amazing feet, and Cam does not have the feet that Anton Harrison has. But Cam has the attitude, the bulk, the size that I think most right tackles you sit there and have a desire for. Mm-hmm. And the Cincinnati Bengals this year, they went out in free agency and signed the guy from Baltimore Ravens, and then he went to Kansas City, and then they ended up signing him. Oh, gosh, I can't even remember. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. But his dad was a famous right tackle for the Baltimore Ravens back in the day, Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
So Orlando Brown goes to free agency, goes to Kansas City, and goes to Cincinnati, and then your guy from Alabama, who was a first-round pick tackle for them, what's his name?
They moved him.
They moved him to right tackle, and he was not happy. But you know what the Cincinnati Bengals said? It's what's best for our team. And so is that maybe what's best for this team in the future? Just looking ahead, jumping ahead, and I know a lot of people don't want to do that yet, but I don't want to let good football players go, and I think Cam Robinson is a good football player, and I think he would make an exceptional right tackle.
By the way, the official numbers, thanks to Dave DeCandis for these, by the way. Cam Robinson, when in the lineup, the Jags are 6-1 and have a plus 31 point differential. When out of the lineup, 2-6 yes. with a minus 41 point differential.
It's amazing. And that first game he was in the lineup was the game at Tottenham, the Buffalo Bills game.
Yep.
And then the last game that he played was the at-home game against Tennessee, which I believe he got kind of rear-ended. He got kind of
rolled from behind, right?
Yeah. Was that Houston? No, that was Houston game.
It was like a weird kind of around the pocket from the other side of the pocket got it.
It was their first-round pick defensive end. Will Anderson ran into the back of him,
yeah,
I believe.
Like from the other side of the line. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Kind of a strange situation. So we'll see if they're back in the fold this week and what else could change up front. We're back in a moment, though. Jaguars defense trying to get it on track this week against another number one overall pick. Your guy, Bryce Young.
Yeah, he's not my guy. I like C.J. Stroud better. I told you that last year in the springtime. I told you it's a big man sport, and you don't take a 5'9", 200-pound quarterback. You don't.
5'10". It's 5'10".
That's high school measurements.
It's final game.
I would love to put him with a real measuring stick up against the wall no shoes, no carpet. No, I don't believe that.
It's the final home game of the season. It's all about you, Jags fans. Join us this Sunday for the fan appreciation game against the Panthers. Go to Jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, week 17. Panthers-Jaguars coming up at the bank this Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff time. We're on the air on the network at 12 noon with countdown to kickoff. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll hear from Fred Taylor. I caught up with him this morning, and he is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up. The Jags defense, though, trying to get back on track here, Logs, and They have to do it against an offense in Carolina is not playing so well. Bryce Young, the number one overall pick in the draft this year, and they've got Adam Thielen. They've got DJ Chark at wide receiver, but it is far from an explosive group on offense in Carolina.
No, it's not, and DJ had a heck of a game last week, though, against the Green Bay Packers. Had a couple touchdowns. Kind of got some former Jags with the Carolina organization right now. This week, by the way, just a real quick little snippet on that. Got Todd Walsh, the Jaguars' former D-line coach, defensive coordinator, is their defensive line coach in Carolina. Dom Capers is a senior defensive assistant. He was here for a little while. Laviska Shenault is on injured reserve.
Yeah.
Former second-round pick for the Jaguars. He's on injured reserve for them. C.J. Henderson, former first-round pick of the Jaguars, has been inactive the last number of weeks. I think he started six or seven games earlier in the season for them, and he didn't play very well. And then, obviously, DJ Chark. So, Shaq Griffin,
yeah,
who was with the Houston Texans earlier in the year, they released him, and Carolina picks him up. So, there's a number of former Jaguar coaches and players that are going to be facing this Jaguars team. But now to bring it back in on those offensive weapons. I thought DJ had a fantastic game this past week. Fantastic game. And had, you know, he's capable of some plays like that. And this year has been kind of a tough year for them. But they've got, if they both play well, which doesn't happen all the time because DJ sometimes is inconsistent, Thielen has, his teeth are getting long and getting older now.
I know what that means. Yes. Thank you. You didn't have to clarify.
I'm just
that.
Trying to. Some people don't, JP, and I know sometimes you don't get those things.
It's a little long in the tooth is the way to say that.
Thielen is a good possession guy. Did you see that one-handed catch that he made this past week?
I missed that one.
He made a one-handed catch, and it was a little rollout where I can't remember if Bryce Young was scrambling or if it was a design rollout. I think it was design rollout. He throws it to Thielen, and it's an inaccurate throw. It's way out in front of Thielen. Thielen literally – one hand kind of stops the momentum and then runs into the ball and pulls it in. Amazing catch. So he's still got some high-level skills. But, again, he's getting a little bit older. Chark is a little inconsistent. Their tight end position, the one guy, Tommy Tremble, had a career day last week. He had four catches for 59 yards. For our guy, Evan Engram, that's just another day at the office. And that's a career day for their guy. Their running backs are just kind of – so-so. They're not particularly good at yards per carry. So I don't think very much of this offense. I don't.
I can tell.
And I think the Jaguars defense should have a really strong day.
Did we say that last week?
No, we didn't say that last week. Last week we said you got Mike Evans and Godwin on the other side with a quarterback who, oh, by the way, just went to Green Bay and threw up a perfect quarterback rating.
Okay.
That's what we were worried about, especially when Tyson Campbell hadn't been playing.
Didn't we say that a few weeks ago against the Browns, though, when it was the fourth quarterback?
We did.
Flacco?
That's the week we talked kind of like this. The Jaguars just they didn't do a great job. They had communication errors, JP.
They certainly did.
You better not have any communication errors this week, and you better not have any communication errors early in this game. Because if you don't, again, I'm going to go back to this. You got to have early success. If not, then all of a sudden there's going to be doubt that creeps into this football team's mind. Unfortunately, that's the way it works. That's human nature. And if you give them positive results early in this ball game, then they're going to gain confidence because they just played a tight game. And the reality is they felt good about that game. Even though they lost by 3 points, they felt good about it. And they scored the most points that they've scored all year long. So they're probably going, yeah, we're turning a corner. Give them a reason to feel that feeling again. Might be a long day for you.
In a moment, we'll hear from Fred Taylor, proud of the Jaguars running back. He's now a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, down to the final 15 in the modern era candidates. And five of those will be enshrined in Canton. We'll hear from Fred in just a moment after our conversation earlier today. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Back The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, glad you're with us. The Panthers and Jaguars coming up. The Jags trying to snap a four-game losing skid. Still in first place in the AFC South. Fred Taylor, now a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024, announced last night on NFL Network. 15 modern-era finalists. Five will be chosen from that list. And earlier today, I caught up with Freddie T for a reaction.
Good. I feel really good, man. It hasn't completely sunk in. Yeah, I'm thankful. You know, I'm grateful. It's another step closer. I try to downplay it, but at the same time, it's a big thing. But I'm happy. I guess that's all internal. I don't know how to kind of process it on the outside, you know, because I've gotten a ton of texts, a ton of calls, a ton of people. You deserve it. The public, they're rooting for me. Social media, people I don't know, they're rooting for me. So it makes you feel great, right? It makes you feel really good about it all. I know it's still a lot of work to be done, but what we asked for was an opportunity to be in the room. And this gives us that opportunity. I think that now the 50 selectors, they have an opportunity to understand or get to know who Fred Taylor was as a player, as a person, you know, maybe understand that I don't have as many touchdowns because I was taken out on them one or two a few times because I was that type of teammate. Or maybe understand that I faced the best defenses and coaches in a particular division early on, and my career wasn't a one-off. It was fairly consistent, minus the injuries. That's one of the bigger things, highlights, truly unfortunate. But that was because of how I played the game. But when you look at some consistency, the 7 1,000-yard rushing seasons, my yard per carry average, I do have 66 touchdowns. Not a ton, but there's a lot of touchdowns there. And some other stuff. I played against some amazing Hall of Famers who can actually vouch for my career. And when you talk about the eye test, and I'll say this, and we can wrap up Hall of Fame talk, JP. When Jim Brown said, Taylor is, he's my best favorite back to watch. He's my guy. You know, I think that should, you know, wrap up and solidify the eye test category. I don't believe the selectors need to hear from anyone else when it comes to the eye test part. And the rest, they can get it from the guys that I actually played against or the coaches and front office people that coached against me. They knew what I brought to the table when I showed up on Sunday.
Fred Taylor with us. How did you find out?
Well, if I tell you, I might have to hurt you, JP. you know, yesterday... you know, I had been working with Sam throughout this process. And Sam called me, he said, I think we got a shot. You know, he went to spill the beans. He said, look, I think we got a shot. And then last night he called me again. He was like, this thing is going to go on at 8:00. You know, I was like, okay, what is he saying? Is he saying I should tune in? But I fell asleep because I drove back 9 hours from Destin from a Christmas trip. So I slept through the entire thing, much like I had been done in the past. I didn't know what would come of it. But again, I woke up to a couple hundred text messages, and that was how I found out.
That's Fred Taylor, the pride of the Jaguars, running back, now a Hall of Fame finalist. And he's now one of 15 logs, and this is going to be a fun little while here.
Yeah, I'm proud of him, and very, very deserving. He is one of the truly great Jaguars in history. Texted him early today, told him congratulations, and we had a great little text exchange back and forth, and hoping to celebrate his induction at some point in the future. I don't know if it's going to happen this year or in years to come, but there's some great candidates, and he is one of the great candidates.
He's the only running back of the candidates this
year. And that's positive. And there's some great candidates. There's some first-timers that are on that list that are amazing players. You know, Darrell Revis, Dwight Freeney, Julius Peppers, Carolina Panthers. And Julius Peppers is a guy, I think, fourth all time in sacks, you know, just on my mind because the Carolina Panthers are coming to town. One of the great players in the history of the league, played a very long time, and to be able to get 149 and a half sacks, oh my God, it's a crazy number.
Here are the 15 finalists. Eric Allen, cornerback of the Eagles, Saints, and Raiders. Jared Allen, defensive end from the Chiefs, Vikings, Bears, and Panthers. Willie Anderson, offensive tackle, Bengals and Ravens. Jaree Evans, a guard from the Saints and the Packers. Dwight Freeney, of course, with the Colts forever, Chargers, Cardinals, Falcons, Seahawks, Lions. Antonio Gates, tight end. Rodney Harrison, a safety. Devin Hester, a punt returner, kick returner, and wide receiver. Torrey Holt, wide receiver. Andre Johnson, wide receiver for the Texans for a long time. Julius Peppers, Fred Taylor. Reggie Wayne of the Colts. Patrick Willis, linebacker of the Niners. And Darren Woodson, safety for the Cowboys.
Some great names.
Oh, yeah.
Great names.
All deserving.
You know, Joe Thomas was a guy that played a long time and was a really good pass protector. But here's the thing, and I like Joe Thomas. Okay, don't get me wrong.
Of the Browns, yes.
He's no Tony Boselli. I'm here to tell you that right now. If you're trying to put it this way, if I'm building a football team and I've got a choice of Tony Boselli or Joe Thomas at left tackle, there's not even a doubt in my mind it's Tony Boselli. Tony was that much better than a Joe Thomas. And Joe Thomas, good football player for a long time. But he doesn't – he's not in the same category of Boselli. But some great names on there. Dwight Freeney, Ronnie Barber, I mean, Jared Allen. Jared Allen I'm a huge fan of. Played the position, obviously. Just like Julius Peppers, I'm a big fan.
Fresh from Florida is proud to partner with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eat like a Jag when you choose Fresh from Florida. Plenty more ahead when we return. Some playoff scenarios. The Jags could clinch this Sunday, the AFC South. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show is presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Week 17, the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars with a 1 o'clock kickoff time at the bank. And the home finale for the regular season. Well, the Jaguars have a scenario where they can clinch the AFC South this Sunday. The Jaguars must win, and the Texans must lose, and the Colts must lose. And the Jaguars will be passing out shirts and hats after the game on Sunday if that were to happen. Either way, if the Jaguars win and one of those other two teams wins, or they both win, then it's status quo. You move on to next week. If the Jaguars win, they would be the division champs next week. So two wins, you can win and be fine no matter what happens. But it can be clinched as early as this week. Or if you put yourself behind the eight ball, so to speak, if you lose and both of those teams win, you could say goodbye to the division, and then you're hoping like heck for a wild card.
I hope everybody wins this week. Just make it exciting.
Move it on down.
Yeah, make it exciting.
I'd rather go ahead and get it over with.
I know you would.
I mean, honestly, no, get it done this week.
No, I get what you're saying, but I mean, to me, I mean, that's the excitement of the NFL, is that it comes down to the wire, just like it did last year. I mean, it made last year so unique and special. And why not have it be that way again, you know, with the same kind of matchup that's on the table, but a little different in terms of, you know, who has the ability to get in or not. I was I got nullified on that.
You got buzzed out of that.
I got buzzed out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, I like – and here's the other thing that I like about that scenario, okay? No buzzer allowed here on this one.
Okay.
The reason I like that. It would mean that you have won two games to get in and you've created some momentum for yourself. That's why I like that scenario the best.
Yeah, and that's the correct answer. Well done.
I appreciate the positive ding.
It would be back-to-back division titles for the Jaguars. The only other time they've done that was 98 and 99. And think about, like, the Patriots, right? I mean, they had this great dynasty and quarterback and coach and things. They won 11 straight AFC East titles
at one
point.
By the name of Tom.
Right, but that's a a different level of back-to-backness, right?
That's,
if you will. Is that a word?
It's unprecedented.
But, I mean, that would be an accomplishment for the Jaguars, back-to-back division titles, and then, okay, you can build upon that moving forward.
The goal is to be a competitive team year in and year out. And you can look at the New England franchise in that era of Tom and Bill, which was, I don't think there's ever going to be repeated in the National Football League in its history, I don't think. But every time it seems like you say that, then records get broken anyway. But in today's day and age, that's so incredibly hard. If you looked at the organizations in the National Football League, not right now, as like model franchises, who would you model this team after? Baltimore? John Harbaugh,
yeah,
right?
They're consistent.
Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin?
They always have a winning record or better.
Patriots with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, although things haven't been great.
Not lately.
But you can't, I mean, the greatest team ever is that era, that stretch that New England had. But, I mean, San Francisco has done a great job lately.
I mean, the Chiefs.
With Lynch and Shanahan, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and the guy that wants to steal the Nuggies.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's a great
commercial. By the way.
Yeah, how about them Nuggies?
Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. The Bills have kind of taken over the East, but, you know, hey, that's in the AFC. So those are the teams that you felt like at the end of the playoffs last year you were trying to compete with and be with, is the Chiefs and the Bills and those perennial playoff teams. And right now, at least from the last month, it's like, oh, gosh, can we even get to the dance again?
You haven't played very well, you know. You know, as good as this defense has been, go back to this again, as good as this defense has been at taking the ball away, that things have dried up a little bit in that category lately, which that also has been part of the reason why you're in a four-game losing streak. But most importantly, offensively, the mistakes that you've made in turning the ball over is the main reason why. You've got to clean that up. You know, the defense, ton of takeaways on the season, 25, but the offense has turned the ball over 28 times. 28 times this year. That's the number you got to stop the bleeding with that number.
Bootleggers, get ready. Luke Combs is bringing two nights of the Growing Up and Getting Old Tour to the Bank, May 3rd and 4th, 2024. Different special guests each night. Tickets on sale now. Visit everbankstadium.com. Can't wait for that. That'll be fun.
That'll be a good one.
We're back in a moment. Our final thoughts ahead of Week 17. This is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. The Jaguars entertain the Carolina Panthers this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Johnson & Johnson, sponsor of the game this Sunday. The makers of AccuView brand contact lenses, making vision possible. Proudly based in Jacksonville, visit jjvision.com. Jags have dropped four straight. That's got to stop, and we've said that for four straight games.
Well, it's not going to be easy to get back on the winning side of things. And, you know, even though I was saying earlier that this is the worst team in football, you should win. That's why they play the games on the National Football League. And I think the Carolina Panthers are going to come in a little bit confident.
Why not?
You know, look, they were able to put up 30 against the Green Bay Packers. They fought until the end. Their quarterback had his best game yet as a pro. So I think they're going to feel good about themselves in that category. They got a win a couple games ago, which was only their second of the season. So I think they're going to feel good about themselves. But if you're the Jaguars, you have to win this game. Got to win.
Got to have it.
Got to have it for so many different reasons. So many different reasons.
All right, Logs. All Access TV tonight.
Question real quick.
Yeah, what?
Does Trevor play or not?
I don't know.
I don't either.
We'll find out when the maybe at game time.
Tomorrow, injury report.
Maybe tomorrow.
It's a big one.
Keep an eye on that. All Access TV tonight. Guest?
We have Antonio Johnson, the talented rookie who has been starting essentially at nickel.
7 o'clock, Fox 30. Be there. String Sports Brewery in Springfield for our entire crew. David Cho, Brent Reber, Joe Fortunato, Jeff Loggeman. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.